There is no such thing as perfection, and we're going to prove that because these great actors have done some great stinkers.
Everyone makes a mistake, but these are bad, bad mistakes. Right now on Movie Mount Rushmore.
Hey, Screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
We are back. It's me, too, Nico Luro, and I'm happy to be back. AJ, I've been away too long. Let's talk movies.
Let's do this. But before we talk movies, bro, would you like to explain what the movie Mount Rushmore is all about?
Yes, basically, it's a top 10 show between two best friends dating all the way back to our school years. Here's how the show works. Independently, we go away, we make our individual top 10 lists, we come back and we deliver to you, the silver screen dudes, our individual top 10s. This week, AJ will go first, delivering his bottom three. I will then deliver my bottom three. AJ will deliver his next two. I will deliver my next two. Then when we get to our top five, we will trade one apiece. If at any time while we are rounding off our individual top 10 lists, one person has a movie in a higher position, that person will say,
Hunt.
And we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the higher position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 movies, we will create the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of the genre, which this week is...
Top 10 Bad Films with Great Actors.
Yeah, so stay tuned until the end to find out what our individual worst choice from an actor is, the worst bad film with good actors, and what the Rushmore is. Make sure you stay tuned to the end for that, and make sure you hit the subscribe button down below if you have not already, and give the video a like if you are a fan of movies. Tickle the notification bell if you want to see more movie goodness from right here on the Silver Screen Dudes. And just before we kick off, AJ, I suppose you want a poll update, yes?
Okay, I wasn't sure, because I was going to say, so guys, what happens after that is we, the Silver Screen Dudes, have the challenge of creating a Rushmore, which Nico just mentioned. Then it's over to you to take those four movies and crown El Capitan, the best of the best, with honor, sir, El Numero Uno, and to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. How do you crown that one? It's simple. You head on over to X, formerly known as Twitter, and you head on over to at Movie MT Rushmore, or more importantly, the person that retweet at Movie Polls for Youth from JT of We Love Movies. And there is where you will see the contenders. Last time we were on film, our category was...
the best movies with 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, this is where we let them fight. Our contenders were...
right. Our contenders were 12 Angry Men, 7 Samurai, Singing in the Rain, and The Terminator.
Right, okay. I'm just going to go by... it feels like such wrestling logic. It seems so unfair. I'm going to go with the international movie taking the big hit, 7 Samurai, in fourth place.
You would have thought that, huh? Well done. I would not have guessed that if I were in your shoes.
It's just something to do with the international flair. It feels really...
black and white, Japanese, subtitles, people, yeah. Seven Samurai only got 15%.
Right.
Not good Carter territory, but...
yeah. This one feels like a bit of a cheat because I think these last two challenged each other somewhere and I kind of got a victory on it.
Three.
I know, but these two that I'm going off, because I think I've got the number one, even though it's not the number one I agree with, but I understand. Is Singing in the Rain in third place?
Jesus, well done. This is not the way I would have voted. Yeah, Singing in the Rain is in third place with 21%.
Now, this is the one that's going to kill me because it's my go-to number one, but I understand who they're fighting against. 12 Angry Men in at number two, right?
How the hell?
Honestly, yes. Honestly, this is why I say the cheat. The cheat was, I'm very sure 12 Angry Men and Singing in the Rain, or Singing in the Rain was in something the other time, and it came in the fourth place, and that's what kind of gave me a, it may not fare too well. And
12 Angry Men got 29%. The Terminator, who knew? The Terminator won this poll with 35%. So it's not the biggest disparity between these two movies, but real talk, I probably would have voted the exact opposite to the way the poll went. Terminator, 12 Angry Men, Singing in the Rain, 7 Samurai.
By cultural reference, yes, but the pop culture icon, Terminator was bound to win. People are seeing Terminator and not even thinking if it's one or two. They're just like, it's Arnie, it's Terminator, it's got to win.
AJ, the man of the people. AJ, your movie at number 10, please.
Right, in at number 10, it's at number 10 because it's a guilty pleasure to me, but I know it was hated by people. I don't even know it's a guilty pleasure. I actually had fun with this film. Okay. And this man has most recently won an Oscar, so you can't say he's a bad actor. He was obviously overshadowed by his slap. So I'm now going with Will Smith in Wiki Wiki Wild, Wild Wild West. I'm aware of the hate that the film had, and I'm going to acknowledge it for the purpose.
Kenneth Branagh is in this too, remember?
I mean, so is Kevin Kline, so am I. Like, none of these are actually terrible actors when you really break it down. It's cheesy, but it was fun. I think it's a product of its time. I don't think it was worse than anything else that was released for it to got the hate that it got. They had an awesome soundtrack. Big up Drew Hill and Will Smith. people really hated this film. It's not Will Smith's best performance. I will not stand on that island and be like, Smith, no, Will's amazing in this movie.
Will disses this movie.
I know he does, but obviously he will, because he's a man that... Will Smith is cheap heat. Let's be honest. Will Smith and The Rock are the same breed of person who we will wave the flag of, yes, it's a crap movie because people call it crap. You accepted that film. When it came out, your promos and promotion for the film didn't go, it's a crap film, I've done it for the paycheck, please to go and see it because, you know, let's support it. You said it was a good film. You said it was good fun. 10 years later, you're going to say it's crap. No, own your stuff, bro. You enjoyed the film. I enjoyed the film. It was a decent film. It's a fun film. It's not a great film. He's given out better acting performances in Independence Day and Bad Boy for sure. You know, Will can bring gravitas. You're not getting that here.
Will's great. But
it's a fun film.
Will's freaking great.
Film. Yeah. So that's why it's my number 10, because it's a guilty pleasure. In at number 9, I've had mixed emotions from this film, and that's why it's there. I think it was the last from Fox. You know, Fox just had nothing left in them. And I must admit, I have nothing but love for Anya Taylor-Joy. So that's why this film came out. But it's New Mutants.
I like this film. I don't agree that this is bad.
So here's my thing. The plot points of it, I think, reminded me of the TV series that DC released at the same time, Doom Patrol or something like that. I could feel the beat. It was like that meets Breakfast Club, and I knew exactly where it was going. It was just too on the nose for me. And I felt like, had Fox not been purchased and this was like their closing chapter of the X-Men, I think there was a bit more effort to be made in this film. And that's why I can appreciate where people panned it more than I did. I wasn't overly excited
people
by
panned
it.
I still
enjoyed it. People hated New Mutants, bro. Hated it.
Why? It's
New
fun.
Mutants has got hate.
Nah. Really?
I swear to you. Like, go for your RT ratings on this. It's not going to be high. They hated it. I reckon it's in 20% territory. Hit me.
What the hell? But this movie was fun.
What was the rating out of interest? Just off of...
36% critic rating, 56 audience score. Rotten on both fronts.
Yeah.
What the hell? It's fun.
Look, as I said,
that was a pile of doo-doo.
But, I mean, I don't even want to get into that, but Magneto's coming up later on, so we'll talk then. But yeah, this, I because it was so on the nose, I didn't enjoy it. But it's a bit like Captain Marvel for me. Like, you know when you see something and you know where it's going to go? I could just see it and I was like, can we just get to it? That's how it felt for me. But I will say it again, I think Anya Taylor-Joy is one of the freshest talents to come
she's
out.
Great.
She's a face I look out for. If I hear she's in a film, it's going to catch my attention because she doesn't underdeliver. No matter what the film is, she just brings the rain. And that's what it was for me.
So audiences scored New Mutants 56%, but scored Dark Phoenix fresh at 64%. That's why you don't listen to audience scores.
But what was the critic response on Dark Phoenix average?
So New Mutants critics gave it 36, Dark Phoenix 22.
Fair.
That's why you listen to critics. More informed. Don't get fantasized by spot fests. What is wrong with people scoring 64% of people like Dark Phoenix? I give up on life. Carry on. You're number nine.
My number eight. We're flying through this today. Number eight is your favorite Batman. A man who you would say can do no wrong, but it just didn't hit. The last of the Thor movies. Christian Bale in Love and Thunder.
Yeah, no, I didn't like this one, did it?
On paper, it should have just been everything. But you know the problem is? You've got Christian Bale playing to me, and I can't remember the name of the character, but it was the MCU's version of, and you're going to agree with me here, Mr. Freeze. It was a cold, not Arnie Mr. Freeze, the animated version of Mr. Freeze. Cold, calculated, but he has an incentive and a reason behind him being the villain that he is. You know, I know that all villains have a backstory, but this one was something. It was grounded. He was that villain. And in all of that seriousness that you had from Christian Bale, bringing that darkness, you've got Taika and Chris trying to bring back Ragnarok, the comedy and the gold of Ragnarok.
And they lean too hard into that.
It just lost its balance because... Yes, the Christian Bale's character and everything is all grey and gloomy, but it just didn't have a mesh to make it. The God Destroyer in any other MCU movie, make him the villain of Doctor Strange 2, it would have probably been awesome and all kinds of great. But you've just got this mismatch that just cannot work. There was too much heavy reliance on one side, but still trying to give so much depth and gravitas in the film. I've never seen such a confused film with so much anticipation from me at the same time. It just had nothing when it should have been so much more because it had all the right elements in it. And again, we were celebrating it. Christian Bale's in the MCU. It's going to be all kinds of great. It just did not bang.
It didn't bang. And not because of him.
No. Again, as I said, he brought something that was perfect, but just in the wrong movie.
Yeah.
It just didn't
work. Or the God Butcher. The God Butcher that didn't butcher gods.
Yeah. Where are we at?
You think that we've got Egyptian gods from Moon Knight, we've got Greek gods established in this, we've got all the Norse gods, you could have had some fun here. Mm-mm.
Do you know what I mean? We not too long ago, we saw like Russell Crowe is there as Zeus. You could have done something. You could have done something. Just saying.
Didn't work. Yeah. Did not work. So sad. They leaned too hard into the comedy and it felt forced. Yeah. That was your eight, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. My number 10. Fun story. So this actor's last ever movie is coming out this Friday. I'm bringing Michael Caine to the party, AJ. In Jaws, The Revenge. Because AJ, this time it's personal.
I saw this come up quite a bit. I need to rewatch Jaws 1, let alone having to go through that element. And I don't even recall ever seeing Michael Caine in a Jaws movie, so it couldn't make the list for me.
He becomes Ellen Brody's main squeeze now that Chief Brody's dead, of course. Not from Shark, just this is the weirdest thing about the Jaws movies is that Chief Brody, first movie. Chief Brody, second movie. Chief Brody referenced in third movie, but never seen. Fourth movie, he died. What the hell? Now, if you ever wanted to sign that this movie is a cash grab, there you go. Oh, we didn't get any of the main people back. They just read the script and were like, kill him off. Kill him off. Dude, it's terrible. They try to... First off, on the ichthyology side of things, they're trying to tell me that the Great White, which is a cold water fish, is somehow made its way to the Caribbean, where it's very warm. I'm like, well, tiger shark, yes. Great White, no. On that level, fail already. But then what they're trying to do is somehow convince me that this Great White is somehow related to the other three Great Whites, four if you count the kid in the third movie, the other four Great Whites from previous movies, and is somehow out for revenge against the Brody family. And it's targeting them one by one. It goes after the first son, the second son, the mother. And it's like, what? Why does the shark have feelings? What are you trying?
And at that, he's also a distant cousin. He's not even like the Mother Jaws coming back to or like avenge her.
Yeah, the shark's died, G. Like, what are we doing? And like, yeah, Michael Caine does his best to blow the bloody jaws off. But even he can do it. It's so bad. It's so bad. I'll tell you what else is bad, AJ, is my number nine. Two actors who have worked together before and, you know, they rage debate out of that scene who came out smelling better, Pacino or De Niro in Heat. One of the great scenes, one of the great movies. Let's bring them back when they're in their 60s or 70s in a movie called Righteous Kill. That
okay, question.
Ilf.
Are we basing this on film or actors?
Well, it's good actors in bad movies.
So they call it De Niro, and we'll leave it as that, if you don't mind. Okay. Pacino is going to come up later.
Oh, you're going to pump me on Pacino. Okay. Yeah. Ah. I see where you've gone. Yeah, I know where you've gone. I know exactly where you've gone. Double act?
Yeah.
I know where you've gone. Yeah, well played. De Niro and a certain someone in this are too old to get me believing that they're badass cops in this. It doesn't work. It's not good. The movie is so bad, I can't actually tell you what the plot is. Like, at least Jaws the Revenge, I could tell you that shark is out for revenge, even though it's a shark we've never seen in the other three movies. This, it's like generic vanilla beige cookie cutter, seen it all before, nothing new, surface level vapid police movie, but let's try and hide that by inserting two of the biggest actors of all time in it. No.
How about no? Oh man, sometimes yeah, it's not just putting actors in the film that make it great. I just hearing what you're saying, and again, age is an issue. There comes a point where you're like, it's not gonna work if you can't convince
me. But AJ, it's so boring, I can't tell you. It's like if The Irishman was police. It's so boring. And I was in that point, I was still much younger when this came out, and I was like trying to hype it up. Like, oh, come on, it's Pacino, De Niro. Oh, I'm just not being like a savant enough. I'm not getting the deeper meaning. No, it's just no. It's just no.
I've rewatched it. I was right. It's terrible.
It's just not. I'll say this, it's not for me. Also, it sucks. my number eight, I'm going to bring a solo actor to this. I think it's my only superhero movie. Yeah, depending on how you interpret it. My only obvious superhero movie, Supergirl. Now, who's in this, AJ? Well,
the sad thing is, I'm thinking Helen Slater, but I'm not going to really put Helen Slater as the ultimate. Is Sigourney in this?
No, well, no.
No, hit me. I can't remember.
Peter O'Toole, Lawrence of Arabia himself. What were you thinking?
He thought he was going to be in the new Superman franchise. That's what he thought. Christopher Reeve has just dominated. This has to be. No.
They cast him as the voice of Jor-El, and he literally just comes back. He's not in it for much, but he. Oh, God, it's bad. Have you seen Supergirl?
I own Supergirl on DVD.
Oh, my man. Of course you do. You remember that part at the end where they're like demon twisting her and she's being stretched and pulled, going, I can't. Peter O'Toole's the voice that goes, you can. Like, and he appears intermittently at other points in the movie, but it's like, Peter, it's like Paycheck O'Toole in this case. My God, what are you doing in this movie, Peter? And he went on from this to do movies like Troy. So it's not like he didn't have pedigree anymore. Yeah. Man's Peter O'Toole. He can go. What was he thinking? You can. Come on.
I'm telling you, it was the chance of being in the Superman.
You know, you didn't need to cast Peter O'Toole to say you can. You could have cast Nico Luro to say you can. I would have been an eighth of the cost and you would have got the same result. It's two words.
I mean, I've always said that. I'm willing to be Groot. I'll still do it. I don't care. Wherever, if Vin ever tees you off, guys, I am willing to say I am Groot. I will learn it in every tone you wish.
Ah, you missed it. Your sentence should have been, if Vin ever teases you off, guys, I am Groot.
Yeah, you're damn right. That was the bestseller right there. Pick either of us. I don't care. But hey, he already has family as one line. Give us Groot.
Your number seven.
My number seven. I mean, no, it depends on who how you see George Clooney. But my call on this one is definitely Uma Thurman. It's the before last of my comic book.
Okay.
But of course, it had to be Batman and Robin. More I think about this film, the more I just have to go and feel like it had to be mentioned. Because let's be honest, it actually killed some careers. I can't think of much from Chris O'Donnell after that. Alicia Silverstone, I'm not saying they were world's greatest actors and up for Oscar nominations before this film.
Oh, it flatlined Alicia Silverstone.
It destroyed them. George Clooney had a lot to go for, and he's still a joke based on the Flash movie. Uma was very lucky that she gets on with Quentin Tarantino. Otherwise,
they literally say to him in The Flash, "You're not Batman." It's literally a line in the movie.
Like, that's a vile. Like, if you want to talk violations, you weren't Batman, and someone's going to watch you deadpan in your face and be like, "You're not Batman."
Yeah.
Like, this film nearly ruined a lot of people. Arnie was, no one was spared from being in trouble from this film. Like,
I don't think Arnie ever fully recovered from this. His big movies were all before this. True Lies, Last Action Hero, Predator, Terminator 2. This was all pre.
Yeah, it's not like
Running Man, Total Recall, Collateral. This all came.
Jingle All the Way was before this, wasn't it? Like, there isn't anything good after this.
This film kind of did a number on Arnie.
There's one good film. I think you mentioned it as a drama that he'd done, but it's not a
Maggie. Wide movie. Maggie.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Maggie's good
film, but not much love. There's not much love to it. It's an under the radar movie, if we're honest. Like, yeah, it literally ruined nearly everyone,
including Uma. I mean, she went on to do Kill Bill, but that's pretty much it.
Yes, this is the thing. She, again, all of her good films were.
And remember, she was already Tarantino's muse before.
She was Martha Wallace. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she wasn't Mia and getting on with Quentin, she wouldn't be Beatrix. It's a fact. I believe that. So this was a career killer.
Yes, all round.
This was a career killer. I've gone for Uma, but I mean, it's just dependent on how much love you got for the other actors. I don't have.
I'd question if any of them were actually ever great. I mean, good, yes, that's the criteria.
Good. The criteria is good. Uma's got a few films. I don't know which one. I don't know the name of the film. There was one where she was.
He's got a few movies where he's good, but like, I don't think Clooney's a great actor.
No, exactly. It's not. Yeah, but Uma's done a few films that I know that I had a bit of respect for, and I respected the Uma Thurman name. I can't quote the films, which is not. The biggest defense. There was one where she had like a bit, really huge thumb or something crazy.
She had a tiny, tiny, tiny role in Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac where she was quite good, like playing the wife who gets cheated on. But I mean, it's a blink and you'll miss it. And you have to. Is that Uma Thurman? Oh, yeah, crap. It is Uma Thurman. But yeah, what a sideswipe this movie was, man.
Tell me about it. Yeah, so that was my number seven, eight, sorry, I've lost track.
No, seven.
That was seven, yeah, seven, that is my number seven. At number six, I'm going to be honest with this film, I don't know, I might get a lot of panning from people, like, it was absolutely amazing. However, the great Leonardo DiCaprio has not been able to make me stay for this film. I remember putting it on during lockdown with the missus, and I think I tried two other times, and I couldn't catch love for this film. And you might be able to tell me I'm wrong. You might tell me it's a great film, but from a personal level, it wasn't that great. Funny enough, it's in the title, the name Great. The Great Gatsby.
Oh, stop it!
Bro, I couldn't get into it. There's something about this film, and I've realised that there's a bit of hate out there for it as well. And I just done it on the fact that I cannot get into that film. I cannot get into it. And I was just like, it came up a few times as a bad Leo movie, and I was like, well, maybe I'm not alone in this.
On that criteria, I would agree with you, but then we're like grading on a downward curve, aren't we?
On a downward curve, potentially. But it comes at, like, when you say good actors, bad films, if you put it in the criteria, that's what kind of gave me the reminder. I was like, I could, yeah, when I saw Great Gatsby, I was like, yeah, I can't get into this film.
Fair.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it worth giving it another stab? Because I just remember, you know, sometimes
I've only seen it once. I've only seen it once. I remember it being slow, but I remember thinking the payoff was good.
Okay, maybe I'll take it back. But at, in the here and now, I'm like, it just didn't bang.
Let's ask the critics. What does Rotten Tomatoes have to say? Tomato, tomato. Watch the audience's trash and the critics love it. Wait for it. No, other way around. Audiences like it. Critics pan it.
Go,
critics say 48%. Audience score 67%.
Interesting. So there is love for it out there, one way or another. But I just couldn't. Honestly, it just
more than X-Men: Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, I'll give it another shot. Based on what you said, I will give it another shot. But
I think your analysis of it is actually accurate. It's a lesser DiCaprio film, 100%. Yeah. But then look at the guy's body of work.
But this is the thing. This is why I feel it was a bit unfair. But I know when I was watching it, I was like, "What is happening? Can we just get to it, please?" You know,
That's a very slow burn. This film, very slow burn.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right. Like, listen, doesn't register for me exactly by the criteria you've said. Great DiCaprio movie, doesn't register.
Fair play. Over to you, sir.
Was that your six, yeah?
Yeah.
I think we're about to say punt. I question if I put this too low. I'm going to keep it as it is. Marion Cotillard, Jeremy Irons, and Michael Fassbender, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, we're going to punt on that. I did warn you that Magneto was coming. That was it.
I had a feeling.
That was it.
I've got other Magneto bringing that I'm going to bring to the party.
Okay. Oh. I think I know where you're going. I think I'd already built the list, forgot about it, and I should have brought it back. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. That technically should be my number two. Maybe, do you know what? I might give Gatsby a bligh and we can talk about that. Yeah, you can punt me on that because that's another Batman and Robin movie. That one has nearly killed a lot of careers,
hasn't it?
Anyway, yeah.
My number six. Well, they made the good version of it this year. Up to this point, it's still in my top 10 movies of the year. The good Mario movie came out this year, but the old one, despite the fact that I've got a soft spot for it, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Well played. Hey,
Bob Hoskins is great. John Leguizamo, when used correctly, is great. Dennis Hopper is great. There are not just good, there are great actors in this.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
I remember, I'm just going to call it what it is. I remember being hyped for this film. I remember seeing it in the cinema as a kid and still being amused. Yeah, I'm still amused. But there are some very, very wrong moments in this film at the same time. Because I remember just being confused by a lot of stuff. And I'm like, but they're not doing what Mario's doing. But
they are. And that's kind of what I gave credit for. Because it was in that era of the movies where if you were doing an IP... And, you know, we're still suffering from it now in some aspects where movies take on IPs and they feel like they have to reinvent and explain everything, right? That's what everyone criticizes video game adaptations for. I mean, I'll say this again in the last show of the year, but 2023 is the year of good video game movies. Like, wow, we've had some stonking good video game movies this year. Yeah, we were thinking it was going to be Assassin's Creed and Warcraft. Yeah. This year, boy. Gran Turismo, Mario, Last of Us, Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like, yeah! Here you go! Bring the rain, man! But this... It was in an era where they needed to explain everything. But why can Mario jump? Well, he has these magical rocket boots. But why the... But what is with the bomb? Well, it's a tiny little bomb that when you wind it up, it goes boom. But what's with the mushrooms? Well, they're protective. They're symbiotic. But what's with Yoshi? Why do we ride him? Well, we don't. He's more of a dinosaur that bites your hand. And it's like, they just felt like they were going to take things and reinvent them. To be honest, the biggest trick I thought they missed was when Cooper comes back into the real world and turns Schiaparelli, that that realtor, into a monkey. I'm surprised they didn't turn around and say, DK?
Like, do you know what I mean? It felt like it should have been the right way.
It's like, yeah, you've put him in there. He's literally broken the fourth wall. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey looked at the screen and went, nang, 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 nang. I was like, call him DK. Please call him DK. Just do it. It's there. He is a monkey on a freaking construction site. It's there. Like,
sorry. I have to bring up this side note, and I know we don't really do this much. Do you know what Mario was meant to be? Mario and King Kong at first. You know Mario is a product of the King Kong game. Do you know who it was meant to,
Donkey
originally
Kong,
meant
mean.
To be? Donkey Kong, sorry, yeah. Do you know who it was originally meant to be?
Tell me.
It's meant to be Popeye and Bluto. But Nintendo had a fallout with the with the creators of Popeye. So then Bluto became Donkey Kong, and then they just changed it into Mario. And that's how it all, that's the origins of Mario.
Well,
we know who won that room. Fight. Like, it wasn't the spinach guy.
And spinach became mushrooms, yeah. Skibbity-bee-bee, oh dear. but yeah, Super Mario Bros., despite, I think there's some weird, hidden, alcohol-needed charm in this movie. It's still terrible.
Yeah. Do you know what also threw me off? Like, playing the original Mario, is it the Goombas? They're yay big. Now they're these big NFL monsters with like the smallest heads ever. And I'm just like, it threw me off. I was like, you what?
But see, even that, you can explain all their creative decisions because I can see how they were interpreting it. Like, you know that scene in the lift where people are like, why do they stop grabbing them and making them dance? Well, I'm like, well, the Goombas are doing this. How do the Goombas move in the Mario games? They walk
like this.
I'm like, they're kind of paying homage to the game. But this is the point I was making, is that they're reinventing all this stuff from the game and putting like a, we must do exposition on everything scene. Is that, you don't need to explain to me why the Goombas move like that. Just make them move like that. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah. If you're a fan of the game, you're going to recognize it. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not, you'll accept it. Move on. I don't need a little scene for it.
Right, weird. That was your number six.
Yeah, your five.
Right, my number five, I'm going to quote two great actors. Do you know what? I'm even going to go for three. But it's two actors I've seen in it. And this was one of the worst films I've ever seen. And again, I couldn't finish it. Absolute garbage. Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone... I don't even recall seeing Rachel McAdams in it, right? I just read.
What the?
John Krasinski's in it. This is how bad, like, Bill Murray, Alec Baldwin, Danny McBride. Like, there are some serious people in this film. This was, Aloha is, I remember seeing it on Netflix, and I was like, Emma Stone, hilarious. Bradley Cooper, this has got to be good. I didn't even see Rachel McAdams. But I kept watching this film. Couldn't laugh, absolutely confused. It's to do with like an army deploy in Hawaii, I believe.
Mm.
This early silver screen. I can't remember what we were doing. I was like, this film's going to make whatever list. Boy, this is before we ever had a worst, because this would have jumped straight into worst. That's how early I've seen this film. I couldn't get into it. Couldn't laugh. Couldn't. And if this is a comedy, why am I not laughing? What is the plot? What are you trying to tell me? I have never been so disappointed in a film based on a cast and just gone, I'm done. I can't even explain what the film's about. It's that far back. That's but when good, I'm talking about great actors,
it's in the Hawaiian film, right, just kill.
maybe like that's a tour de force again. It didn't kill anyone's career. It just didn't make it to anyone's screens. It was just terrible. Absolutely.
At this point,
terrible.
I genuinely believe Emma Stone is bulletproof. But
watch this film. It's the one film you'd be like, I don't get
it. But she's still done bits since, right?
Yeah, in that
Academy
sense,
Academy Award winner Emma Stone, yeah?
Thank you, yeah. And is he not... Did he not win?
Bradley's an Academy Award winner, damn right.
You know what I mean? So it's got two Oscar winners in here, but maybe even more. But
pretty sure Rachel is too.
I think she's nominated. I can't think of where she would have won. Oh, Spotlight. Technically, she could have. I mean, she was in the film for it. Yeah. Yeah. No, just didn't bang.
Did not. So that bang. Was your five, yeah?
That was, yeah, absolutely terrible. Wish I could explain it. Can't remember it. It was that forgetful.
Cool. For my five and four, AJ, I'm not going to do them back to back. I'm just going to tell you what's coming. I'm a believer that there are two actors working today who are incapable of delivering bad performances, but are never really leading men. You can just kind of insert them into any movie and they're good no matter what.
I would go with that.
Those two actors are Stanley Tucci.
And can I take a stab at the other one?
Sure.
No, because he has done the main thing. But it's
you
the one that
say Sam underrated. Rockwell, right? Sam Rockwell, he's a leading man.
Yeah.
These guys are not leading men, but they're known and you can put them in anywhere. Stanley Tucci's one of them. And the other one is Paul Giamatti. That guy's great.
Yeah, yeah. He's he does deliver magic good. In absolutely everything.
He's always the film you're about to mention, not right? a leading man. He's like the king of the backup dancers, that guy. But he's always good.
Yeah.
Let's start with Stanley Tucci. In a franchise, an IP, not a franchise, an IP that I love that has been bastardized by one Michael Bay. Oh, AJ. What was Stanley Tucci doing in Transformers Age of Extinction?
Kill again, me. Because I've not completed this Terminator franchise.
Watch Transformers 1, 2, and 3, Bumblebee, and the new one, Rise of the Beasts. Never acknowledge the existence of 4 and 5. Like, Tommy Wiseau looked at these movies and went, oh, big robot. roll out. Do not acknowledge their existence, which is weird to say when you think the Age of Extinction was the introduction of after Optimus Prime and Starscream, my favorite Transformers, the Dinobots. You didn't have to do anything here. I often criticize people of being spotfest monkeys by just being pleased by visual noise. This guy with Transformers, Ravage, Eject. Now, it helped that Bumblebee was actually a very good movie, to be fair, right? Yeah. But give me Spotfest. That's what I want with this IP.
Some films are built to be that, though.
Spider-Man Homecoming. No Way Home, sorry. Spotfest. The plot didn't make sense, but it was still fun. You're introducing the Dinobots. How did you mess this up? How? You brought Mark Wahlberg, who's not the best actor, but he's at least a good action star. You brought Stanley Tucci to the party. How did you make this up? How did you slip? It's so easy. But no, we have to make the Dinobots the Bay Dino. We could be here all night. This movie's terrible. Stanley Tucci's in it. Somehow, miraculously, move on.
Right. It's the one film we've punted on, so it's guaranteed to make it into the Rushmore. Yeah. Michael Fassbender, Assassin's Creed. Now,
and Marion Cotillard and Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. I take it for the leading character. Like, here's the problem, right? We talk about video games and Mario, rightfully, in the realm of they're terrible, but for fan service, you can go into it. You know, even for all the hate that you want to have for Sonic, you could be like, well, it's not even fan service in that, but there are certain redeemable factors. Now, there are other films.
It's not even games. Hate I have for Sonic. The movie's just fine. There, I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible. It's just there.
Then you've got games that have a blueprint, you know, and they could be great or they could be bad. Like, you could take the Angelina Tomb Raiders, give or take them. Then you take the Vikanda ones and you're like, it's a blueprint of the game. You've done what you had to do. You've got the magic. I've not played the game, so I can't say how great it
is. Oh, they're really good. I'd say they're better than the originals.
However, I'm going to talk to you after that. I don't want to get into a tangent, but I'm so excited about the trilogy. Really, really amazing. But anyway, getting back to the crux of it. If there is ever a franchise of games that needs no work whatsoever, literally just ask Sony to pass you the script for the game that you have written, it's Assassin's Creed. Ubisoft, should I say, because it's available.
Yeah, there's one other I can think of, and that's Metal Gear.
Yeah, but do you get what I'm saying? There are some games that need no work.
And none is there. It's there.
Yeah, the story is there because the game is a story. Like,
I've make like Jon Favreau and the Lion King and just do a scene-for-scene recreation.
I've not even played the game, but based off of the love you said for Ghost, you can recreate certain things. Yeah? There are certain things that has a story. Just use it. Now, why, oh why, with the eclectic collection of Assassin's Creed game from Ezio to Black Flag to this, to that, to Unity, to all of them, to all the games that are out there now, do you manage to screw it up as bad as you did with this film, which has done nothing but bored me? I have a condition that allows me to fall asleep and I have to do stuff to fight it. I am very happy to fall asleep every time I've watched Assassin's Creed because I have tried it on multiple occasions and it cannot entertain me. The film sucks. It's terrible.
So hard.
It's disappointing because it shouldn't. The excitement from playing an Assassin's Creed game says to you, I am ready for this film. And they failed it. They completely bombed it when you have a blueprint of exactly how you've got a success. Just go from game one, which explains it all.
No, AJ, come on. We have to do an original story. Just use the IP's ideas. We have, you know, we have to. This is how on the nose it was. I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe the character was called Aguilar, which, guess what that means in English? Eagle. I'm like, oh, kill me. You on the nose, boys. Like, what is wrong with you? Because he has an eagle in the game, we have to call him Aguilar. That's no. You've missed the point so hard.
But again, with all of that, even if you wanted to come out with a fresh story, use the game writers to write your script. Like,
start where the game starts. Just start with Altair and set it in Jerusalem.
Done.
Done. Like, it's really simple. Then go to Italy. Then go to Revolutionary America. Then go to the Caribbean with Connor in Black Flag. Then go to France. Then go to London. Keep it going. The story's really good. It's there. Blueprint done. No research required.
Such a wild idea, right?
So annoying.
It's a travesty what they did.
It really is.
It's painful. Painful to see what happened there. But yeah, Yeah, that was my number four. So over to you.
Cool. So I mentioned Stanley Tucci in my five, Paul Giamatti's in my four, and my first of two M. Night Shyamalan movies that I'm bringing to the party, because Shyamalan can make some good movies, but the Sham Hammer, the Shyamalama Ding Dong, my God, when he gets it wrong. Ouch. My number four, a movie that tricked me into thinking it was interesting, so I got beef with it. But yeah, see, you're yawning. That's how I felt with this movie.
My bad.
Okay. No. Lady in the Water with Paul Giamatti and Bryce Dallas Howard. It sounded so interesting. A kind of Grimm's-style fairy tale set in a really crummy motel where things come alive. I'm like, weird? I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Not even Paul Giamatti could save this. It's not levels of stupid like The Happening, which stars Mark Wahlberg, so there's a little Trinity thing going on here, which is the one where the trees come alive and with their pollen they kill you. I'm like, no. No, now you've gone too far, Shyamalama Ding Dong. This is too much now. But no, the Lady in the Water is... it's a fairy tale come to life set in a motel. That's literally it. The idea is good. You could have done some interesting stuff with this, like get the different occupants of the rooms to be the different characters, get the swimming pool to take on a whole different meaning, get the plant life around the hotel to hide deeper secrets. There's so much interesting stuff you could have done to make the hotel
throw back alive, bring it alive, yeah,
bring it back to Transformers, more than meets the eye. But no, You couldn't do it, could you? You had to be the sham hammer and you had to hammer this one down the drain. Bad. Your number three.
My number three. Again, there are some films that when you just think of good actors, bad films, they just jump at you and you can't help but bring it up. And this one is the one. Mr. Mission Impossible himself in a remake of a franchise that people loved.
Ah.
The Mummy. You thought it was going to be good. It's not even him. Russell Crowe's in this as well. Like, it was meant to be. I always laugh when I talk about this film because it was the opening of a new franchise. The first, like, the boldness of having all the actors stand there, you know, in all their glory and sitting there. And it's like, yes, be prepared for the new Monsters universe. Yeah,
fell and out they the were first well time. Cast.
Do you know what I mean? You had some banging actors in some banging roles. Bardem,
Depp, Russell Crowe, like, yeah, man.
It could have been something. It could have been something. Oh, boy, did it fail. And it's weird. Do you know what's really weird about The Mummy more than anything? Brendan Fraser goes to do a film called The Mummy, and you're like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. You hear all the feedback. You go and watch it. Brilliant movies. Now you're like, they're remaking The Mummy with Tom Cruise? Russell Crowe's in it? Take my money. Whoa. Where's my refund? Bring it back.
Where's my money, man? Where's my money? There's another thing I wanted to just check on. I'm pretty sure Peter Berg is the director. Let me. Oh no. That makes so much sense. It's not Alec. It's not Peter Berg. Oh dear. This makes so much sense. It's Alex Kurtzman. He of Transformers writing credit fame.
The Trinity continues. Your second Trinity is going on. We move on. We're trying to keep it short and sweet. Okay, you're number three.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. The other Magneto. Jellicle Cats. Oh, this movie sucks. Oh, this movie sucks so much. I couldn't believe how bad this sucks. I knew you wanted to walk out. I knew you never walk out. I couldn't believe how bad it was. I couldn't believe, given that Toby Hooper, who had just come off of directing Les Miserables, could with the cast, the Ian McKellens and Judi Dench's and freaking what's her face from Dreamgirls, the blah blah, help me. This one, yes. I should have known.
And for all the love that people give it, maybe they'll be calling him a backup dancer. Idris Elba, Taylor Swift.
You beat me to my line. You beat me to my line. You told me Idris was in it. First warning. Then you find out James Corden's in it. Second warning. The writing was on the wall. You cast either of these two plum sacks, you don't usually have a good movie.
Hold on.
Idris is so good in there in Luther. Cool, keep him on the small screen. Huh?
Rebels in it as well, which is another red flag.
Oh, massive. Massive. Rebel being rebel. Also, why do the cats not have buttholes? I just want to put that little nugget out there. It's weird that you decided to not digitize their feet. Like, there are visible multiple times throughout the movie scenes where the cats do. Jellicle cats don't even know what the hell that means, but the Jellicle cats with the Jellicle names flapping their kitty paws all over the place. The kitty paws are human feet. They're not cat feet. They're human feet. They forgot to put the special effects of the feet in. You can see ballet shoes.
Do you know, for the criteria of actors that you just listed, for the love, the promotion that came out for it, the director that you mentioned, and you know they put money into this.
Oh, yeah.
It did feel very, very, very B-movie. Do you know what I mean? It just, where it should have landed, it didn't. It was such a miss. And you're like, ooh, this is bad.
Real talk, the only good thing was Taylor Swift singing McCavity. Yeah. That was good. I enjoyed that. There were no cat buttholes. There were no cat feet. I wanted some proper cat parts. I don't mean parts. Yeah. I mean, like, the cats were not digitized properly. It looked like someone had been... It looked like a load of adults had got drunk and been to one of those children's parties where they do face painting. Legit, that's what it looked like. But AJ, it's okay because it had Jason Derulo. A man who did every song by singing his own name. Go on, Jason.
It should have been actual, and I know it sounds weird, but live action Cats. It should have been a photorealistic film with these people providing the voices and maybe the hints of, you know, like, let's be honest, you like know Whoopi Goldberg King? Is a hyena. Do you know what I mean? You know Whoopi Goldberg is one of the hyenas in
there. Yeah.
Like, what I'm saying is, facially, you can tell it's Whoopi in there. Even though it's a hyena, there are traits of Whoopi, like, out of that hyena there, that's the Whoopi Goldberg one. You could have done that with these. It's Cats, and it has a hint that you're like, oh, that's Judy in there. Do you know what I mean? Without it being cheesy, you know who's who. And that's what you could have done. That's the power you had with this. And I understand it would have been a bit of a disservice to the play.
Riddle me this. This came out after The Jungle Book.
This is what I'm saying.
Think on that.
It just doesn't make sense. And I know you're trying to maybe keep it close to stage, but it just didn't land. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. As I said, it's the one time AJ had two hands and was like, I'm not going to do it because I don't walk out of films. But I was the closest I've ever been.
Should have done it.
Should
have done it. Then we would both have one accolade in common. We've both walked out of an Idris Elba movie.
Fair play.
Third Star Trek movie he was in. Which is a shame because I actually liked those first two Star Trek movies from JJ. The third one. Oh God. Pain.
You mean Brixton couldn't do it for you? Anyway, we digress.
Waste man.
Cats is your number three.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's kind of linked to my number two because it may not be Cats, but it definitely is Catwoman. Because, oh my God, the anticipation I had.
Really? Huh? You had anticipation for this?
Bro, I've always been a Selena Kyle fan. I knew it wasn't anything great. I knew it wasn't her. But I was... Remember, Halle had actually done a few bangers up before this, right?
I've been really a Halle guy, you know?
I do like Halle Berry. I do like Halle Berry. And that was the other thing. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to get into the dream crush that you gave me about the stuntman who was Halle Berry for most of the film, apart from Halle Berry. But I'm not going to lie, there was a bit of female adoration going on there and glorification. And I was like, okay, my God, this film was bad. My God, this film was terrible. And this, again, let's say it.
You didn't like the part where she just sneaked out the jail cell because she's a cat?
Yeah, but again, let's call it. We talked about it with Aloha. We didn't really mention it with Tom. This is an Academy Award winner who stunk the joint out.
And this a Razzie winner because of this movie.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Not many people could be in both categories. She got it because of this film. This film, I don't even know, like, you tried to give lore to the Catwoman legacy, which could have just been, this is who she is. She's just happened to have got the power, but you've gone and given it this whole, the history of this. It just didn't, there was nothing in it that worked. There was nothing in it that worked. And then was it, if I'm not mistaken, was it not like some cosmetic cream that Sharon Stone was selling that made her the villain? Like, even the plot behind it for what there was a villain for just sucked. The film had nothing redeeming to it. It was just terrible. And again, we talk about not recovering from films. I don't think she was able to. Like, she'd done a film called The Call, which was good, but it didn't exactly make it to the cinema. That was straight to the bargain bucket. It
killed her.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a curriculum movie.
No one talks about Halle Berry, mate.
They don't. They don't. And again, she, you know, there was a lot of love around Halle before that. And this came and it was just done. Bad kitty.
Bad kitty. No cat buttholes. I'm telling you, don't make cat movies. With
Michelle Pfeiffer got away without a cat butthole. But
I don't know. I saw some pretty kitty butthole there.
So Kravitz. Anyway, we digress. Yeah. We digress.
There you go. Dude, my next two are like, the pedigree of actors in them is actually crazy. I mean, the one I've got is mental. I know you're not going to have it now. My two, Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson In a movie, AJ, which I don't think you're aware of how much I hate, I actually think this is my most hated movie of all time. It's one of those beautiful counterbalancing acts where some people weirdly praise it, and I think it is the most tremendous piece of doo-doo. Because I can't say, well, shib. Ha-ha! Tremendous piece of shib. And it's from the Shamhammer again, AJ. Signs.
I remember you saying there's a lot. I remember you hating on this film. I've not watched it.
Despise this movie. And it tricks you. It tricks you into thinking it's interesting. It's surface level interesting. The first 20, 30 minutes, you're like, I'm on board with this. And this is the guy who did The Sixth Sense. Also, this is going to be a good film. All right, yeah, I'm in. What we got? Oh, aliens. Crop circles. We've got isolated people in cornfields. Miles and miles away from help. And the crop circles are getting closer and bigger. Okay! Stuff's going down! And then we're doing kind of third-person narrative where the main characters start to see the aliens, but in various parts of the world, because there's other parts of the world where the crop circles pop up. So they start to see them on TV and thinking, are these the same visitors that we have? Then it gets dumb. Then they start doing things like wearing tinfoil hats, using... This is a thing. It's a meme. It's from this movie. Joaquin Phoenix in the tinfoil hat is in this movie. The kids holding up baby radios to communicate with the aliens. And I'm like, you're asking me to buy too much here. There is legitimately a very good jump scare where an alien shoves its hand underneath the door, which is a proper, proper jump. That's a good jump. And then... Let me just bring the poster up again. A blockbuster with brains. Okay. AJ, what's our planet? Not Earth, but what's it also known as? The what planet?
The water planet, huh?
The blue planet.
Yeah, that's
why,
right, yeah.
Why are we called the blue planet?
Because of the water.
Okay. Do you know what these aliens are allergic to?
Not water.
Water. Duh. This... is the same level of stupidity. AJ, what's Magneto's power?
Yeah, the man who can control metal hides in the woods, yeah?
Man who can control metal hides in the woods. The aliens who are allergic to water come to a planet which visibly from space is covered in water. And I just swore, I'm sorry, 57
minutes. It's fine.
So, I say to you, the movie dumb. The movie really, really dumb. The movie is deplorable in the fact that it tries to trick you into thinking there's some deeper entertainment when there is none to be had. And the ending is...
No, sorry. I'm not one to break the laws of logic here, but just listen to what you're saying, right? Entering the Earth's atmosphere, even if you didn't recognize that we were water, the water planet, right? In entering the Earth's atmosphere and landing through to Earth, our actual land, okay, you've missed the water on the ground. You've passed clouds. Now, I'm not the biggest expert.
Condensation, vapor, water, yes.
So the crop circle should never have freaking happened because they would not have been able to reach there.
Thank you. You are understanding my point of view now.
Oh, you've lost me.
Oh yes. So bad. And people think it's good. I'm going to make a point. What does Rotten Tomatoes say about this movie? I bet it's got good scores. That's
the most flawed logic. If you're allergic to water.
AJ, audience score, 67%. Critic score, 75%. This movie is terrible.
I'm not saying that I know every Shyamalan Rotten Tomatoes score, but you do have times, and I think critics as well as audience are guilty of this, you do get D-riders. I'm not going to say the word because I'm not here to do more editing, but you do get D-riders. As long as you know that there are certain beats, it's got Phoenix, it's got Gibson, it's a Shyamalan movie. Like, yeah, it's got to be good. Like, No, acknowledge what you're doing. And I'm not saying you have to be a scientist, but I'm not the brains of Britain out here. And I figured it out that if you landed on the Earth while your ship passed the cloud, you clearly had to be done. Anyway, we digress. That's not what it's about. But the ranking should not be the ranking. Okay, that was your number two.
See, your number one. I know what it is, but anyway.
Highly intrigued. You know what it is, yeah? Have you seen it? You must have, because you said double.
I haven't, but I know exactly what it is.
So the other day, and it was just in time for this, actually. The missus said, have you seen this film? And it was on Amazon. And it's Adam Sandler twice in Jack and Jill.
Mm-hmm. She's got a great ass.
And yeah, there we are. Sorry.
Right up it.
Yeah, like, here's the thing, right? Pacino to me can either be really great, Michael Corleone, Heat, Scarface, you know? And there's other times that Scent of a Woman. I would never not mention that film while talking Al Pacino. It's just a disrespect to not mention it. And then there are other times he's just too much. And again, that act off between it. I always say, if you reverse the roles and you needed Robert De Niro to be a bit eccentric, he could have still kept the cool. He can't do it. And this film here, Pacino is being Pacino. And that's the worst part. You are playing yourself. And he, for some reason, is fascinated by Jill, who is played by Adam Sandler, even though the whole world sees her as extremely Tonkin, masculine looking. Coincidentally, at one point, her brother plays her. So, yes, Adam Sandler is playing the brother, playing the woman. If you want to get meta, it got meta for that 4 minutes for a minute of the movie. But it was terrible. The cheap laughs out of it were the cheap laughs out of it. And there's a part of me that had fun with The Nutty Professor, but I've never been a Big Mama's House fan and the rest of it. I just feel like these jokes just got a bit too on the nose. But honestly, for all the greatness that Pacino can do, he was terrible in this movie. I'm not even going to go into the film. You can give or take on the film. It's not a great film. He was terrible in this film. I just think that it was, I don't even know why he accepted the role. It was absolute horse crap. Like, I would have used
money.
But I don't even know if the money could have been good enough.
It's Al Pacino. He comes with a certain balance.
Oh, no, I got you, honestly,
I got you completely beat.
I believe it. I believe you do. And I'm willing to hear the story of what it is. But I would say avoid at all costs. You could, I actually believe, and I'm going to say this before you go into it, I believe Al Pacino's presence in the film made the film worse.
Wow.
Do you get what I'm saying? You've got a cheesy comedy, and you take it for what it is. But the fact that he's in there being Al Pacino in this weird eccentric way made the film worse. You're like, I don't need that.
So even though it's funny, you've said that
for the character, it made the film worse.
You've stolen my line. That was going to be the line I was going to use for my number one. You've literally stolen my line.
I apologize. Go.
I've got a murderer's row of talent for you here, AJ. David Thewlis, who we know to be an incredible actor. You're going to like this next one. Val Kilmer. And AJ?
Okay.
Not for me. But for most of the movie world, you know my goat's Daniel Day-Lewis, but for most people, the goat, Marlon Brando.
What is this?
I knew you hadn't seen it. The Island of Dr. Moreau. AJ, when I tell you, spend 20 minutes either reading or YouTubing the production story behind this movie and then go and watch it, and it's like watching The Room with a high budget. You will literally go, you won't believe what you're watching. It's not believable that these actors are in this movie. I am not lying to you. This is like if Cats and The Room made a baby. Okay? It's it's Stan Winston, the guy who's famed for doing Star Wars and the Muppets and like, sorry, that's Jim Henson. Yeah, but Star Wars and all these amazing creatures and Dark Crystal. Like, there's so, he's an icon, the man who does all the creature creations for these various movies. He did this, and it's literally adults in face paint and stuff. So the premise of this movie is David Thewlis is in a shipwreck, and he gets picked up and taken to this island by Val Kilmer. And on this island, they've got this crazy kind of almost Colonel Kurtz-like cult leader being played by Marlon Brando, called Dr. Moreau, who is fusing human and animal DNA to create the perfect being. And he controls them like you would a dog, you know, with ultrasonic whistles and electric shock stimulus. But when I say it is so bad, and you can tell, you can literally see it playing out in front of your eyes, that you're wondering, how did you keep pressing record here? The actors are purposefully acting badly, because when you go and read about the production story, they were in production hell. You think Apocalypse Now was production hell? It ain't got nothing on the island of Dr. Moreau. Like, storms that devastated their camps, them all getting high and drunk and refusing to show up to work on time, which made everyone else disgruntled. Marlon Brando in a complete hysteria and delusion about his place in the world. Val Kilmer putting cigarette butts out on cameramen to try and get purposefully fired from set because he wanted out. And no matter what he did, the production crew were like, no, you're not leaving. No, you're not leaving. No, you're not leaving. They literally kept him freaking prisoner on this hellhole. And, dude, I'm not doing the production trouble justice here. All of these troubles that went on in the background are visible playing out on screen. And you're watching this going, how? Like, even when the fact that you were pressing record and capturing this, how did an editor who made this look at this and go, yeah, let me put this together for you? And how did that edit that was created get put in front of a producer and a studio exec and get greenlit to go to cinemas? Because of the actors who were in them. You had Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer and David Thewlis, and that's automatic money. You have no degree of how bad this film is.
No, I don't. Oof. It sounds terrible, though.
I'm not doing it justice. Please go and watch 10 minutes on YouTube, then read up on it, just to get a clear understanding of what went down on this production.
I'm not going to promise it for next week, but I am actually, you know, one of those that it's so bad you have to see it for yourself kind
you
of thing?
You have to. You must. You absolutely must see it. Mandatory watching.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
And it tricks you. The first 5 minutes, you're like, hang on, this is David Thewlis acting alone, playing survivor in a life raft. It's all right. Oh, wait till they get to the islands. And it doesn't take long. It's 5-10 minutes. And then you're like, oh, this is where it all went wrong. How long is this movie? Oh, it's another 2 hours. Oh, God.
Oh, it's a long one as well.
It's 2 hours and a bit. 2 hours 5, 2 hours 10. It's not long, long, but it's like, boy.
Okay.
Scenes of Marlon Brando playing to his animal creature creations, the piano. Oh, and by the way, the music's so bad because Marlon Brando couldn't play the piano, but he insisted on playing the piano and wanted what he was playing to end up in the final version of the movie. So you're listening to this and there's all of a sudden, you know, like, I'm not musically talented, but I can hear when there's that, hey, yeah, that key shouldn't
that's
have
not
been.
Right. That's not right.
That wasn't right. And then you're like, dun, 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 dun. Hey, yeah, what the hell's wrong with the sound dubbing? And then you read up on it. It's like, oh, Fat Boy wanted his music in. I'm like, okay, got it. It's mental what went down on this production, bro.
This is mad. I've got an interesting concept for you, if you're interested.
I'm always interested. Tell me.
So, let's be honest. Assassin's Creed was the one punt.
Has to. Instant. Yeah.
What is regarded as many people's favorite film?
Uh, I mean, yeah, The Godfather.
Right. So let's do it. Island of Dr. Moreau, Jack and Jill, and your De Niro movie.
You don't want to put Cats in there?
I mean, that is worthy, to be honest.
I think Cats has to be in there.
Yeah. De Niro, you've been spared. De Niro, you've been spared. Because I have to
insist. He's the best.
I have to insist on Jack and Jill going in there. Because
I know what's going to start. People are going to be like, Adam Sandler's not that good. Pacino.
But yeah, I mean, but I think it needs to be said. Al Pacino, Jack and Jill. Pick. Let's go for it. Marlon Brando. I'm the Dr. Moreau. Cats, everyone. Assassin's Creed. Yeah, you can pick take your pick on it.
Yeah. Locked?
Yeah, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore of bad movies with good actors in no particular order is
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Our second entry is
Jack and Jill.
Our third entry is
Cats.
Our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of bad, terrible movies with good or even great actors is
Assassin's Creed. And going back to that Adam Sandler comment, he can make good movies.
Sandler's great in a dramatic capacity. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. There we are. Okay, guys. So you done know the deal. Head on over to X. Go to movie at movie MT Rushmore, or more importantly, at Movie Polls for You, fronted by good old JT of We Love Movies. You only get the one vote, and you will be able to crown El Capitan, El Nero, blah, 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 blah. So until the next time, I am the one AJ Anthony Jordan.
It's been great seeing you as always right here on the Top 10 Show. We should have a special guest with us next week, so do stay tuned for that and check out all of our content that comes out during the week on the channel. I'm Nicolero, and we will see you, as always, right here on the Silver Screen Dudes. See ya. See ya.